And now we are ready to receive the Word of God from our anointed pastor. You missed singing happy birthday to your wife this morning, Pastor. Where were you, dude?
I didn't know she was aging on me.
Hallelujah. Come on and minister the Word of God to us, Pastor.
Thank you, sir. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Just a few things before we get started here. We'll be having our meeting next. When is our planning meeting, Patricia? I didn't write the date down. 22nd. Golly, on my birthday. We'll be having a planning meeting, and I would like to know if you guys would like to just stay after service like we're doing now, and we have our planning meeting. And or would you like to leave and come back? What we can do is we can order in some food if you stay, and we'll take a break and feed you guys while you're playing. Last year, our planning meeting went so well. We couldn't hardly get people out of the church. I think we started that evening, and we ended up about 8 o'clock that night or 7, right where we was at. So we want to make plans. And we want to do some things. I think we did. We went fishing out of the planning deal. We had a good time on that. That was one thing that came out of it. We all pooled in and had a nice time. But you guys have ideas. We want you to put them on the board. We probably separate everybody, you know, by groups and have you all to meet and discuss with the things we put together for you to discuss. How many would like to stay by lifted hands, would like to stay after the service rather than come back? My. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. My. Look like the hands up win. How many would like to come back? How low would like to come back? We might excuse you guys, go eat and come back. Guys, that we'll keep the door open. We like Motel 6. Yeah, we keep the light on. You guys come on back and get with us. So we just kind of was trying to get a feel of things on that concerning that meeting so we can set it and set our calendar, and we'll be moving on concerning that. We do have some other meetings coming up. You guys won't be involved, but we'll get Hal to kind of give you guys an update on where we're going in another meeting. We'll probably take the whole service. We'll probably take that much time to go through all, because some people have questions. But you know, the last meeting, Hal pulled off like that. Didn't no one have any questions? He crossed every T and dotted every I. Didn't nobody say anything but thank you. which is a good thing. It's a very fine thing. And before we have our prayer and get started in our lesson for today. I'd like to remind you guys that, you know, where we are going as a church, and periodically I do remind you guys of it. You know, we took a different step as a church than the norm after I came on board. We took a step toward discipleship. And discipleship is so important to the body of Christ. It's kind of like a segment of Jesus' teaching that kind of disappeared, because, you know, evangelizing and going out to win people to the Lord became a watered down system, so to speak. Those of us that did that kind of work, we didn't present it as Jesus presented it to his disciples. So if you're a disciple, see, you're continually being taught the Word of God. And as you continually being taught, you're continually conforming to that side of the ministries where you live a life of discipleship, see. And when you get that life on the inside of you, you have something to offer. But when you evangelize, and like I was doing before I came, and throughout, you know, talking to you guys about discipleship, I found out that evangelism had been watered down so much to all we were teaching was get people saved, you know. Let's just get them saved. Let's go and let's tell them about Jesus Christ, that he died for them, and that he rose the second day for them, or third day for them, and if they can believe that, they can be saved. And we let people go, you see, with that teaching, which became just get them saved. But you know it's more to that teaching than that. And that's the way it was presented through the disciples. They taught it that Jesus would meet every need, no matter where you were. If you were sick, he'll heal you. If you was poor, he'll make you rich. You see, they was teaching it that way because that's what they seen Jesus display before them. So what we are doing as a ministry, presenting that lifestyle to each person that's coming to the church so they'll have it on the inside of them, whereas they won't go and just say, well, you know, if you ask the Lord to come in your heart and you believe he died for you, you can be saved, and you pray for that person and walk away. And that person just let you pray for them just so you can walk away, and they don't believe it. So here's a person going around saying that I'm born again. I asked the Lord to come into my heart. But they don't bear any fruit to it, you see, which puts that person in the category where Jesus said the devil came along and sold tare with the wheat. And they said, well, what must we do? He said, let them grow to harvest time and we'll separate the tare from the wheat. And you know what they're going to do with the tare, don't you? They're going to burn it up. It's going to hell. That's what he was saying. He was saying there's so many people that's going to be in the church that's saying they're born again and they're not. And that's because of poor evangelism. But if we disciple people, they'll stop and say, well, no, I haven't done that. I don't believe it like that. Because we know how to present Jesus Christ as believing it with the heart. It's with the heart man believe unto righteousness, and that we want to see you bear some fruit. See, it's a whole lot of people that are coming out of midst that won't bear any fruit. They'll just be there with you, you see. And Jesus said in that day, he's going to say what? I never knew you. I never knew you. You know why he's going to say that, don't you? Because the person never did receive and never was taught any further. It's many times, you know, the more teaching you get, the more you look back over a situation to make sure it's correct. You know, I thought about my son when I preached to him. I preached to him every day coming from school. So we was talking about salvation. And after I got through teaching him about salvation, and I was telling him how to know that you was born again. Because a whole lot of people are not born again. So he told me a couple of days later, he said, you know, Dad, I prayed that prayer again. Because he was trying to guarantee it. You know, why would you be in the midst and don't know it? You know, and you're in the midst and not present it to you. Or you in the midst and thinking that God wants you poor. God wants you well. God wants you wealthy. God wants you all these things. But it has to be presented to you by way of the scripture. See, that's what he said in 3 John, right? He presented all that. And would above all things that you prosper and be in good health. You see, even as your soul prospers. See, above all things, John said, I want these things to take place. But they won't take place unless you've been properly discipled. See, he was a disciple telling everybody the same thing that he knew Jesus wanted them to have. So when you know, the scripture says they added to the church daily such as needed. Those disciples was the one he was adding them through. They was going out telling it, and people were receiving it, you see. So when they came in, they had heard the message. All they was waiting was to go forth and do what God would have them to do, find their place, you see. Like those 12 that Jesus chose, they found their place with Jesus, you see. And Jesus told them, he said, no, you guys are judge your tribes. You're the 12 tribes. You guys are to stand judgment over these tribes. Well, you know, they weren't thinking like that. at first, wasn't it? They was thinking about who going to run this outfit when Jesus leaves. Who going to be in charge? Jesus said, no, that's not the way spiritual people think. That's the way worldly people think. So we want to change that by continually teaching discipleship, teaching us how to be what God called us to be. True disciples continually living their life. That's why I continue to say to us, we need something every day, just instead of once a week, you see. And giving many examples, you know, if you send your child to school one day out of the week, he'd be in the third grade by the time you get 90 years old. So what that boy in there? Mine's in the third grade. Well, he just go once a week. But no, you send him 5 days a week and make him stay there all day. See? Or her, whoever, you know, because you know they need that education. But that's for the world system by and large. But it's not for the works that God has called us to. So you can see why I continually say that we need classes every day in the church. You got a church building you're paying for every day. And we need something going on that will enhance us every day. Whether we can come to it or not, it's presented. It's there, you see. And I'm believing this, that you guys right here that I'm talking to be teaching these classes, be in these classes, teaching on prayer, teaching on faith, or teaching on healing, teaching on whatever gift that God has put in your heart. See, and certain of these things I keep reiterating because I know those gifts are here in this room. So I say, why are you with me? Practice. You know, if you think you got a tongue, get up and say it. If you make a mistake with us, it's okay. I told you what I was going to do if anybody made light of your mistake. I told you what I was going to do. I wasn't going to send them to Piccadilly. And then they're not going to go. They just for making light of you. But if you got anything, a word from God, whatever, God want to use us. If you don't step out, you know, he's not going to push you out. You know, you're going to stay in the boat. So you be praying, you know, Lord, you know, I sense that I got a word of knowledge. Come on with it, because you're with us, see. We don't mind judging. That's what the Bible tells us to do. Judging, well, we practicing right now. But see, as a disciple, one day you're in the hospital going to see somebody else. God speak to you. Go get that word to so-and-so. See, you already know what to do. That was the Lord. Now, whether it's right or wrong, Peggy, the Lord told me and tell you, you'll be walking out of here 3 days from now. I mean, lay my hands on you, and he'll raise you up and turn around and walk away. So I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but I just got that inside. I went on did. Instead of on your way home, I wonder was the Lord telling me to go in there and tell that woman so-and-so, so-and-so. Sound like he was, miss God 100 miles going on to the house. Wonder if somebody will run the back of your car when you stop. She said, that's why they hit me. I didn't do it. No, I'm just saying. But you know, as disciples, we practicing. And we got to wake up and realize we practicing. And we going at what God wants us to go at because we believe in what the word of God has said to us. So I was talking last week. We was talking about the church. And we was talking about what went on in the book of Acts about the church and how the people were in the church. You see, they did certain things that we are not doing today. You see, when they come together, but you know, they got it off of Jesus. They was continually meeting. I showed you in the scripture where they was meeting from house to house. Now we used to do that. I told you, we used to do the same. We met from house to house, which gives you more opportunity when you meet to express what God has given to you. Just say if we had classes in the church, that would be like from house to house. So when I'm going to church Wednesday, they got a little small class over at the church going on Wednesday. Renee teaching that class, it's going to be on nutrition. I found out, you know, that I'm already healed. I'm just eating the wrong thing. You know, sending a class, you know, Lord, quicken that to me. If you do so-and-so, 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 you'll be just fine, you see. But if you sit in the house, you didn't get that. You see, you got that because that anointing was there for you, and you went in and you went there and you got that. You sat under that information. See, people perish for a lack of knowledge, you see. And then, you know, they'll say, well, you know, I don't know what happened. Granddad had been eating them chillings all his life. They found him in that dead. Yeah, they had his blood pressure high all his life. Finally killed him. But you see, you don't know certain things. But God wanted to meet our needs. But we got to put ourselves in position for God to meet our need, because God used people. Yes. Most of us want to see angels appear. No, you might as well forget it. I'm going to tell you, like Brother Hagin said, that might happen once or twice in a lifetime that you get that. But if God has already covered that information and got it to you, you don't need an angel. Most men that perish that have good ministries looking for something like that, they take a decline when it show up, when it begin to happen. Because you know what he was striving for? Striving to walk by sight. God desired that we walk by faith, you see. But if he going to meet our needs, then we are faith people and we are continually developing in faith. We know certain things that other people don't know, you see. If she got healing working in her life, she can come to somebody, she can say just like Jesus said, according to your faith, rise and walk. Well, why you say that, Christine? I sensed in my spirit they had the faith to be healed. So I told them to rise and walk, and they did, you see. And then you turn right back around, you be like, she'd go meet someone else, and she'd be like when Jesus come out of the Mount of Transfiguration. Well, how come you can't help this person? See, he didn't tell that man according to his faith. He said, that man said, help my unbelief. So that means Jesus had to use his own faith. And she'd go there and see, say, well, they ain't got enough faith. I can use my own faith now. See? But she know that because she practicing it, started working on it. See? But if I hadn't sat in those classes, I wouldn't have known that. I would have just went in and did so and walked away. God desire for us to know. See? And we can't know if we don't get the knowledge. And we're here to impart that knowledge. Take it. Write it down. Go home and practice it. You know, say, if the Lord want to use me in the laying on of hands, that's what I'm going to do, lay on hands. If God want to use me to be a witness, that's what I'm going to do, I'm going to be a witness. If God want to use me to inspire other people, I'm going to inspire other people. And I'm going to do it based on the word of God. And when you go out, to God be all the glory. You know something about God? When you begin to walk out on the things of God, God will back you till he gets you in the right place, because you want to do something. You ain't just sitting on it. You want to go out and do something. You want to work for God. And God will lead and guide you in certain areas. Eventually, you'll say, you know, God, keep using me so-and-so place. I get so-and-so place. I'm ready to be used of the Lord. And it wasn't, you know, that I knew that. It just started coming to me because I was available. But now, I have yet to hear somebody say, you know, God woke me up and told me I had a gift. No, you laying around lazy and sleep, he's not going to wake you up and tell you you got a gift. He's going to let you go and get your sleep out. be like a guy on the job. So whenever he wake up, he fired. He got no more work. Whenever he getting paid long to sleep. Whenever he wake up, he fired. But we don't want to be like that. We want to stay woke. We want to be vigilant, and we want to do what God is telling us to do. Now, my 15 minutes up on that. Now that's what we're talking about as far as discipleship, and we're gonna stay in that vein till God changes. I believe he's gonna get it to us, whereas we'll know what we're called to do, and we'll be doing that. We'll be practicing that. We, with that in mind, and us staying here where we are, you can practice it, you know. And periodically, I still ask you guys, you got anything? I say, let's do quiet time. You got anything? You hear anything? If you got something, you can just raise your hand, and we'll let it come on. See, we'll let it come on. We don't want to stop the flow of the Spirit at any time, you see. But we want to keep everything decent and in order like God told us to. Amen? All right. Father God, we just give you honor today. We thank you for the word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that lives in us. We thank you that as we enter into the word today, that the Spirit of God will quicken our thinking. The Spirit of God will give us supernatural recall. We give you the honor, the glory, and the praises for every word that is spoke today in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen, amen. Okay, if you will, turn to... We just go a little bit of what we did last, maybe. Matthew 25, 25. We start at verse 35 and we go through 40. We was talking about these things last week, how important it is as a disciple of the Lord to know the history of what's going on, or what has passed, so you can conduct yourself accordingly. Well, I'll tell you what, guys, I was listening to Black History this week. I couldn't tell you how dumb I was. I said, God, you know, all this stuff is going on. You know, I was telling my wife, you know, about it. You know, she don't like current events. She says it gets to her. She don't really like it. But to find out 40 million people still in slavery was just mind-boggling to me. It's mind-boggling. 40 million people in slavery. Today, even as we speak. And, you know, I saw some of the specials on, my wife and I looked at it, how Walmart buy from these countries that hold these people in slavery. Be buying that cheap labor and passing it on to us, so we go buy from him. That makes them, you know, get some more slaves. But when that on the end, we continue to buy it. So, you know, one way to stop that is buy stuff made in America, whereas, you know, not buy stuff made in those third world countries where they hold people in slavery. So we want to keep ourselves abreast of that. But, you know, my wife was telling me about sex slavery. I don't know how in the world men come. That ain't nothing but the devil. Sex slavery. Young girls, bring them in and make slaves out of them. Isn't that something? Isn't that nothing? That's just the devil. That wasn't enough to kill the babies when they get up some size and make slaves out. Boy, that's bad. But anyway, just going through that. It was an eye-opening thing to me. So, you know, in going through the gospel, seeing things that Jesus done for us is eye-opening as well. Because we can put a stop to a lot of things. You see, we can put a stop to it. We can give time to prayer. We can give time to finding organizations that's out there working toward setting people free. And we can get behind these organizations. And you'd be surprised, you know, what we do now. You know, as the churches, we here as a church. But, you know, we could be praying, and we bring these things to meetings, and we say, well, we're gonna get behind brother and sister so-and-so. They are setting people free. See, that's the same thing. You know, most of the time you find people who setting people free, they getting them born again, too. They feeding them, taking care of them, getting them born again, too. So we can be involved with that, as well as, you know, getting people born again that's right around us. That the Lord will lead us and to. Come on, let's read our scripture here. We're going 25. Okay, you got it. 25, we're going to read up to verse 40. Are you ready? Let's go. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick. And you visited me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when you see and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink, when I saw thee a stranger and took thee in, and naked and clothed thee, or when you saw thee sick or in prison and came unto thee. And the king shall. Inasmuch as you have done unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Okay. Turn to Acts 2. No, yeah, let's go with Acts 2. I think is that correct, Acts 2. 2, yeah, 40. Let's start at 42, verse 42. That might be one. Okay. You know what I was, this is where we, just going back, starting over what we went through last week. talking about the early church. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the hands of the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them unto all men, as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. That's it, at least. I just told you to go to 45 anyway, but that's good right there where we stopped off. We were talking about the needs being met last week through the church and what the church did as far as outreach. And today we don't see as much of that in the church as it is us yoking up with other ministries, passing that on. By and large, I try to work that inside the church, in-house. If we got people with needs that's among us, because there's so many people out there today that's not among us, that we'll find out that we're liberal and come in dressed as sheep, but wolves eat up all your food that you had for the people that had a need in your midst, and find another bunch of sheep and eat up theirs. People do that. So we need discernment in looking at it in today's society where we're living in. But in their society, they seen to it that needs were met according to Jesus' teaching. See, that's what Jesus did. He passed out. So last week I was talking about that as we were talking about the church and the works that went on in the church and the importance of the church at that time and at this time. So let's continue a little more of that, I think. Lisa, I'm going to, let's go with, because I didn't finish it last week. Let's look at, I did talk about Ananias and Sapphira. I know y'all took good notes last week, all that has taken place. But in 542, Acts, same chapter, I can read that one. You don't have to look up. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Now, you know what I said earlier about a daily, that's what they was doing. They didn't just meet once every now and then, but it was a daily run from the beginning. You see, Jesus didn't never stop. Jesus didn't teach his people one time a week, one time a month. It was a daily teaching going on to cause people to catch hold of spiritual things. Can't you all see how come we so far behind? Just one time a week or maybe twice a week, we're going in to get some spiritual food, and we so far behind because of that stretch of time between us. Because the devil robs us out of that we picked up Sunday. By the time you get next Sunday, so I don't even remember what we talked about. Or by the time you get midweek, I don't remember what we talked about. But if it's a steady flow that you're teaching about, till it comes to a place that it's climaxed in your learning, the full scope of what was taking place, then you can activate it in your life and put it to work in your life. So In this, what we were talking about last week, this is what is coming forward. Now, it also talks about the gifts as well that worked involved with it. Acts 2:42, what we talked about, is talking about the continual steadfastness of what took place by them operating day by day. And let's look at 1 Corinthians 12:28, if you will. And then we'll talk about, I didn't cover it, I didn't get to this part last week. And we'll talk some, just mentioning it by way of passing, God talks about the widows and how they was taken care of based upon what the scripture had to say in Timothy. And then we'll stop it off. I want to talk on another subject as well as we finish this one. Now, what was the last scripture I gave y'all? Corinthians 12. And it's talk about this just to refresh us what God has said among us. And see, it tells us that these people are among us and these gifts are among us. And God has set some in the church. Yeah, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. And he asked this question, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Quite naturally, all of us not, but some of us are. And those of us that do have these giftings must locate these, must find these ourselves. We must get before God and find out what God would have us to do till we find what our calling is. And I told you many times how I did when I was seeking out callings before God, you know, by way of prayer. Now, you could work it out the way you want to, but I prayed and told God that I was just going to hold fast. I know I'm called somewhere, but I don't know where. I'm going to hold fast till I hear from you, Lord. That's what I told him. And I did. I held on, and I just waited and worked in the church, ministry of helps. I worked as a deacon. I worked as an usher. Did the works that it took to carry the church on until I found out what God had for me to do. But I was diligent in the work. I kept staying with the work. Whatever was needed, I was there to be a hand. Whether it was physical work, whether it was financial, whatever the church needed at the time, I was there because I was seeking God to find what it had for me. Spent time praying, spent time fasting, my wife and I. And so when I did find out what God had for me, I was surprised too, because I wasn't even thinking about it. You know, I was still working in the church. I had just finished taking the offering up at the Copeland Ministry. You heard Pastor Cruz tell it so many times at the Copeland Ministry. When he went to, I didn't even know he was going to get a word. I wasn't going to get a word. I was just going to be in the Copeland Ministry, my wife and I. And when I finished taking up the offering, then he called me forward. And he said exactly what I said. He said, you've been asking the Lord what he had you to do. I said, that's exactly right. He said, you just come on up here and lay my hands on you. And I went up, he laid hands on me, told me, said, the anointing on me going to come on you. The anointing, he says, is going to come on you. And God gave you the same calling I got. See? So from that point on, that gave me light on what I had to do. So instead of me trying to follow someone else, see, I start working at what from that direction. If he had told me I was going to be a preacher, I'd have been somewhere trying to find me a preacher to follow. See, but I knew he was a teacher. I knew he was an evangelist at the time. I know he was doing the work of evangelist. So I got my kickoff right there. See, but I stayed before God. You see what I'm saying to you? I just stayed there. So I'm telling you this so you know. You might not use the same technique I use. You might use another one. You might ask the Lord to give you a dream. I don't know. Just whatever, you know, way you can hear from God. Some people hear from God different ways, you know. But I'm going to tell you one way, don't do like Gideon. You know, he wasn't convinced every way God did it. He kept asking for something else, you know. You know, make the fleece wet this time. Make it dry the next time. I don't know. That's unbelief if I ever seen it. Don't fleece nothing. Just get before God and let God tell you. See, he will. He'll get it to you. He'll get it to you, and when he get it to you, you'll know beyond a shadow of a doubt. That was God, he told me, because he said exactly what I said to God. That's how I knew it was God, he said, because I told God that. So I'm telling you, each person in this room got something. But until you get there, be doing something. See what I'm saying? Be doing something. Continue to say, you know, I'm working, I'm doing some things here. The Lord watching, you see? He sees us all right now. All you got to do is just make your decision right now. So, well, Lord, I'm not going to stop till I find out where you have me to be or what you have me to do. That's why I'm so peculiar about when people come to the church, you know. I want people who come to church with a cause and a purpose. You see, but you get some people just come to church. Well, I just went to church, you know. They have a good time over there, so I thought I'd go. No. No, you go to church with a cause and a purpose. Like my purpose is to please God, you see. My cause is to advance in what God has called me to do. You see, I want to advance. I want to be with God. You get to heaven and God tell you, say, well, you just went to church because your sister was going. Or you just went over there just to have a good time. You know, I had work over there to be done. You were supposed to fit in so-and-so place. You didn't have no business over there no way. Now you're really in a bad shape. Uh-huh. That's what they tell you. Know. Now you go there and sit in Ron's class, he's going to teach you how to be obedient. Copeland said going to be classes up there. He said people going to be sitting in class. You know, if you're obedient, you know, you get to ride. Just think where you want to be and go there, you know. But if you weren't obedient, you had to walk. You don't get to think. You have to walk where you go. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding on that. Don't write that down. But no, gifts, rewards, all that's going to be there because we made a decision on this side to do what God told us to do. We made a decision. We worked at it diligently. Now, that's what I did. So what I'm telling you now, I believe that it will help somebody to reach out further than you've been reaching to satisfy God in your goals in life and in what God has called you to do. And it's important to set goals, too, especially godly goals if you haven't. You know, just the foundational goals, you know, your confession, your prayers, they are not easy. I'll tell you that right off. I'll tell you that every now and then I mention that. They're not easy. I mean to find that out. Yeah, you're doing confession, you're doing prayer. You know, the devil finds out pretty soon, he finds out your trail, he just gets in the way. You know, he just gets in the way. Just rebuke the devil and go back and try it again. Stay with it till you get it. You know, he's a dumb devil, you know. You just keep telling him what Jesus told him. It is written. It's written. And every time you tell him what's written, you know what it does to him, don't you? Remember what I said. It's the two-edged sword. The word of God is the two-edged sword. You sticking him with the sword. Every time you give him something that's written, you sticking him with the sword. You know what he's doing every time you stick him, don't you? Ouch, ouch. Let me get out of the way. Ouch. He don't stay around. Just keep sticking him with the two-edged sword, which is the word of God. So that's what Jesus was doing up on that mountain, wasn't it? He kept saying, it is written, man, shouldn't leave my bread alone. He stuck him a good lick then. Boy, he got off them rocks right quick. He went somewhere else. So, well, we to do likewise. Just keep putting the word out. Keep going where God would have us to go. Amen. Now, where we going now is to, about the gifts. Oh, let's go to... I'm going to give you two more scriptures, then we're going to take another step somewhere. This is James 1:27. This thing supposed to act right today. Me and Miss Sammy got an agreement on. This mic going to act right today. Amen. James 1, okay. Let's see what James had to say about pure religion. We're talking about the Word of God and... We're talking about what God has said concerning his people. Pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless, the widows in their afflictions, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. We can preach from this one all the way, but we not. I'm talking about us coming together as believers and us building the church. You see, God has a formula that we should follow. Now, God, you know, God is really big on widows and the poor in taking care of these people. I don't know about you guys. I think about this when I see people on the street. I think about that. And I be telling the Lord, you know, I just be in my car by myself. I say, I sure hope there ain't no angel that I just passed up, you know. Bible said, you know, the angel said we, you know, angels are visit unaware, you know. Hope that is not one out there waiting on me to give him something, because if it is, I just shot by. I said, You know, and I do ask the Lord a lot of times, Lord, if you have me to give this person something, you tell me I'll do it. I'll do it. So yesterday I was riding along, and I stopped. And this guy wasn't asking for money. He said he was hungry. So I had just bought me two McDonald's chicken biscuits, $1.50. I tell you what, boy, I won't eat that biscuit. It was good. While I was eating that biscuit, Patricia, I was going on in. And I looked out at him. He turned the sign around where I could see it. I said, look at that. He told me I could see it good hungry. I said, well, man, I said, when I got another chicken biscuit, if you hungry, you can have any. I'm hungry. Take my chicken biscuit. Take my chicken biscuit. I just finished this one I'm eating. And he saw my Kellogg jacket. He goes, you know a guy named Roy Phillip? I said, yeah. That's my best friend growing up. I said, well, isn't that something? And pull on off. Gave him a chicken biscuit. But now, I don't want to, you know, he sees something. The widows was, you know, people that angels ever didn't visited. Because, you know, he talks about intimacy, you know, that you know, the widows did certain things. You know, there was one wife or one husband, you know, and they visited the sick, and they, you know, they did certain different things over that. He was telling Timothy, he said, now, these are qualified widows. Yeah, so. Look at Jackie, you a widow, right, Jackie? But you ain't old enough yet. You got to be 60 to get something from me. 60, baby. He said, yeah. I told my daughter that when her husband died, she told me she was a widow. I said, but you ain't no qualified widow. You ain't 60 years old. You know, you got to go back and be qualified, and you got to. Because she said she qualified, she got a dead husband. Two ways you ain't qualified with me now. You're not 60 or you killed your husband. Somebody said, sorry, you bugged him in there. Honey, get up and do something. Honey, I'm just going to lay on over and pass on. Oh, man. No, I'm just kidding. No, but God is just big on the church taking care of those people. That's why he was talking like that, you know, that we as believers taking care of these people, seeing to these people's needs being met. And I think it was Kenneth Copeland I heard. He said, it's pitiful that we spooked it off on the government. But you know what that did, don't you? That made the government get involved in our business. See, they took on a lot of that stuff, and now, you know, they really hard on the church. You just got to show all kinds of stuff to show yourself qualified as a church and to meet their needs. They got certain needs they want you to meet, which is pitiful. You know, we kind of talk about in our meetings that we have how the government more and more getting involved, you see. We have to make people sign for stuff, you know, and we give them something, you have to sign for it. That shouldn't be so. You know, they're making us prove everything we do. And I know, you got thieves in the church. You get some people come in and they start stealing, and, you know, in the church for their own personal reason, which the Bible talks about that too. You get personal, you know, personal gain. You find some of these guys, you know, they everything. They the founder, they the pastor, you know. They got seven different definitions. And we also count the money. So when you pay yourself, you ain't got no staff, then, you know, just pay yourself off. All that's against regulations that the government has set to play, you see, which is a bad thing because they don't even allow the church now to pay the pastor. They want somebody outside to pay the pastor. How is that? They don't know how well you're preaching, do they? Unless they come set in a while. And then you give some good preaching to Chad, they might give you something. You give them some bad preaching, they'll give you nothing. You got to go in there and get in line with the widows. Wait on the church to give you something. But that's government getting involved, see? But we, you know, we faith people. We're going to believe God, and then let God show us what to do. And we'll do what the government said do, and we'll do what God said do. And God will show us what to do, and we'll do that. Amen? That's the way I look at it. I don't know how other people look at it. Because, you know, like God and Abraham, you know, they had a ram in the bush. Yeah. The boy wanted to know where the sacrifice was. I ain't just saying, the ram in the bush. It ain't none of you, baby. It's the ram in the bush. So God has done that for us, too. He's always made a way for his people. And a way is made for us. God said we'll prosper, we'll prosper. So we might be the people loaning the government money for us over with. The one that's trying to rob us. Let me just loan y'all some money. Y'all broke or whatever, we'll just loan you some. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we won't do it. You know what Obama did, don't you? He cranked the machines up running off some money. He said, run us off some millions over there, man. We'll pay the welfare with it. We run a little shutter. Crank the machines up. Y'all think I'm kidding with y'all, but that's the truth. That's the truth. That's what he did. He run the machines and made the money and put the dead presidents on it. Could have put my picture on there. It was all false anyway. Put it on there from Brother Willie. But do we read the scripture? Yeah, well, I read it out then on Acts. So the scripture called this is pure religion, undefiled here that we're talking about. Now let's look at Timothy, and then we're gonna close off, and then we're going. Well, we don't have much time to close off. We're gonna pick up on this other 5:9-11. First Timothy. Timothy talks so bad about. Paul talks so bad about people with Timothy, you know, to Timothy. You know, so many crooks in there, so in the system, so he talks to him a little rough, you know, about the latter day, you know, the latter days, how men become lovers of themselves and all that. He talks to him a little rough. Yes, sir, buddy, and men do. Men have become lovers of themselves. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Men have abstained from eating meat. You see, and making decisions. So we got it? We up there? We ready? Let's go. We're going to read from 9 to, you got 11. Let's go back to verse 9, baby. Let's start at 9 and we go to 11. And we'll cover that I just talked to you about the weather, and then we'll come on down to. All right, you ready? Let's go. We're going to 11. Ready? Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man. Now, starting from the bottom up, any widows want to get back married? I just thought, well, you say, you know, I just stop at that, you know, if you want to get back married, you know, we're going to refuse you. You won't. I tell people all the time, it's a good thing I wasn't a woman. You know, I tell people that all the time, it's a good thing I wasn't a woman. Some of these fellas will be broke. I don't know, you know, because, you know, I always say women got all the goods, you know. So, you know, if she's a smart woman, she's some fella finna be broke. If he gonna take me to the movie, he gonna be broke because he paying for everything. He said, but no, you can't afford me if you can't do that, brother. I just stay home and watch TV. But you know, I ain't no woman, so I don't think like one. See, that's the way a man think. It think bad. You don't think like women think. But that's the way I would be thinking. But then that's the younger women he's talking about. If you decide to get back married, fine. See, there's nothing wrong with that. If you see it, if you're older with her, you know, and you think about getting back married, go ahead. I would say, you know, go ahead. But the younger one, he said that their desires would be to go ahead. So let's go back up to where we started, Lisa. 7:9, okay. So we're not in the business, per se, of taking in widows because of what, you know, the society we're in now, what it dictates to. We're not into it. But now we do help if we find somebody need that kind of help, we set up to take care of it. We set up to be a help. You know, we will stay in reason. You know, if they need utilities or they behind in something like that, certainly we're here. We, you know, that's why we take funds up ourselves to be a blessing and a help. And it's, you know, for years we did things with, you know, Pastor Cruz did to meet needs. Then he met a lot of needs outside the church, you know, and I do the same thing. I'm all the time running into somebody with needs and help them out. You know, that way I don't have to sign for anything, just help them out. And I'm through with it. I just receive return on it and go ahead and not refuse the return on it. But that's the way I am. You know, you do as you lay it. If you want to just give into the benevolence, fine. Believe me, we'll see to it getting into somebody's hand. Or we'll leave it, you know, in that account, whatever you put on your ticket for where you would have it to go. Okay. We don't qualify these people. Being a wife, and I might start doing that. Did you have one husband? That's what you think I ought to do that. That's what it would do. Did you have man, I'm hungry. You trying to find out if I had one husband? I'm just saying, well, you know, that's just a walk in, but people among us, we already know them. So, you know, like I told you from the beginning, before we started reading all this, that I'm a big believer in in-house first. You know, we start in here among ourselves. Then we pull out, see. But we want to make sure our people need some. Man, we know they are in Christ. But other people come along, you don't know where they are. They'll tell you they're in Christ and don't be. And it's so many. I just couldn't shake a stick at many of them, so we couldn't tell them all where they were. Okay. I want to go, well, I had some more scriptures on that, but let's, I really need to break this in. We'll start here next week on what we got. We want to start, because you need to know about it. We'll be talking about a demonology, being oppressed or depressed by wicked spirits. And having the places. We'll be using these scriptures in Ephesians 6:12 and Mark 16:17. If you want to write them down, and when we come back, we'll discuss these scriptures. Mark 16:17 and James 4:7. And we give all the answers to these scriptures as well in dealing with this. Now, how come we're going to deal with demonology? Because most people we deal with outside is influenced or possessed. And you're going to run into it. Yeah, you're going to run into it, so we need to talk about it. You'll need to know what to do when you run into it. Don't turn tail and run. You don't. That happens. People turn and run. Don't turn, but you know what scriptures to go to, and you know what to turn to and read to yourself. Of a surety, you're going to run into it. You're going to run into it just as sure as you begin. And sometimes, you know, it'd be right at home with you. Yeah, be right in your house, and you don't know it. And because the devil just cunning, see. And you be meeting needs of a demon through your child or your husband or whoever live with you, your in-laws, if they're there with you, whoever, and you be dealing with that. Sometimes the Spirit of God will quicken that to you, and you'll know what to do. But other than that, if you don't know what to do, it's because of lack of knowledge, and it'll take advantage of you every time. You know, I think for most people who deal with stuff like that, not aware of the scripture, I believe prayer clause is a good way to just kind of keep it undercover dealing with it. You know, get anointed prayer clause, put it under the pillow, or put it in the covers, or put it somewhere where they sit. If they sit a certain place all the time, you can put the prayer cloth there. The anointing that's on those clothes affects a person. especially demonic spirits, and you can use it to that point. And you can pray over it yourself before you send it out. You see, you can come to a place whereas you can address it yourself, and which is the best way, I think, to address it yourself. When you run into it, just take the scripture. You know what the scripture said, and you know who you are. But if you don't know who you are, if you're afraid, don't address it. Now, how come you said don't address it, Pastor? Because the devil will make a fool out of you. See, he'll talk crazy to you, and he'll act up, and he'll get even worse because you don't know how to drive it out. But once you know how to drive it out and get it out, you're all the way cool, see. And you got to use the scripture to do it. You can't do it without the scripture. See? Because every knee bow to the name of Jesus, and the word of God is a two-edged sword. You have to use those two. See? You're going to drive the devil out. See? And I tell you about the prayer cloth because there'll be anointing in the prayer cloth. You see? That flows through the cloth, and whatever is ailing that person, it will affect the healing and the cure in the body. Sometimes it is a demonic spirit. See, all sickness and diseases is just not you hurting. Some of it is brought on by demon spirits. You're saying they'll come in and possess a person or oppress a person, and that causes them to hurt all the time. You see, it causes them to hurt all the time. Now, I give you one example of that. You know, Kenneth Hagin was talking about the woman who had the migraine headaches. And you remember he said the Lord showed him a demon spirit had a headlock around her head. He said, sitting up on her shoulder with a headlock. And he said she was thinking of migraines that darn old devil sitting up there. He rebuked the devil and the thing left. See? But the Lord showed it to him. So it's a whole lot of things that happen, you know, demonic spirits cause them to happen. So we want to be aware of that. So next week we'll talk to it to some degree, and then we'll probably cover that and something else. We'll have the time to do it. But right now, I want just everybody to before we take a quiet time. I don't see the young lady got born again since she was coming back. I was kind of looking for her this morning. Huh? Yeah, Yvette. She said she would be back today. We did help her out, by the way. My wife and I took her out Sunday, and we helped her a little further. She called the church a couple of times last week. And if she do happen to call anybody, it's as usual, you know, always refer them back to our benevolent. Don't, you know, unless you're just led to reach out yourself. Then you do it that way. Everybody should know that. Anybody, you know how come a benevolence works so well, don't you? Kitty is on the board of that benevolence. You get it now. She know where the devil is. She be like, this ain't nothing but the devil. Now you hang this phone up and don't you call back no more, okay? That keeps that benevolent working. Come on. Wait, guys, look. Let's take our 5 minutes quiet. We're going to take about 4 minutes and I'm going to come back and shut out. We got about 7 minutes before we close out, okay? Who got something? Good. Let me bring the mic back to you. You're going to be loud. Okay. Amen. Steady. Steady as you go. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Go ahead, sister. Amen. 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 That's encouraging. That's really encouraging. Anybody else? Amen. Amen. Oh, come on, Renee. Okay. Amen. 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 That's right. That's exactly right, Renee. Believe it and speak it. Amen. Amen. That's right. That's right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Just as you spoke it, so be it unto you. You got something? Say it one more time. Getting the knowledge that is needed for the discipleship of others. Amen. 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 Hey, folks, believe me, God want to work through every one of us. That's how he add to the church, through the people. So you have to have the knowledge to present. And you say, hey, come on with me. We get more. You get the same thing I got. Come on with me. You see? And we bring those people in. You see? What I don't want, like I told you, is those people who come with don't want anything. You know what they do, don't you? Start trouble in the church. It's not trouble. I don't see how come you got to do that. You know, why? They didn't give me one. All that kind of stuff, you see. Yeah. So we're going to send them back to the nursery. Amen. Stand up, everybody. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you this morning for the word of God. We honor you, Lord. We thank you that everything was spoken is to your glory. We thank you that we have supernatural recall. We are setting ourselves to be true disciples, Father God, following your word to make sure we fulfill the call that is upon our lives. We thank you, Father God. We honor you, Father God. As we leave this place going in our different directions, I do charge the ministering spirits to go before us and make our way safe and prosperous. In Jesus' name, everybody say it. Amen. Amen. Amen.